We used to pray a lot. We just got so busy doing God's word that we didn't have time to pray.
Now you're meddling. Stop that. That's all of us, isn't it? Don't look at me so piously now, please. That's a struggle. And it's unfortunate. I appreciate you bringing it, but that's a place where there's really spiritual warfare. That is so evident. You can feel it. Yes, Anna Marie.
You know, I feel that we as a church ought to also place a higher priority on prayer during our worship times. And we have vision to pray for God's work all around the earth.
Hey,
it's pretty little prayers. And I'm not speaking about Grace Bible, but churches that I've been to,
yes.
We have like a token prayer.
Whoa.
And we're not really praying, you know. And I think the church is going to be the church for
what
God's given us. Amen. It's also the fact that we are the church that has the responsibility to take the word out. And so therefore, if we're not there, we need to be supporting those that are there.
Amen. Wow.
Wouldn't this be a good time to mention at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to be praying for these missionaries?
Oh, fantastic. I remember that last time I was here. We went around to every one of these. We covered the whole base, didn't we? And we could dismiss right now and do that, but we're going to do it tomorrow morning. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. We will do that. Is South Africa around here? No, we'll pray for South Africa. Don't need it, but that's okay. Yes, another good question.
A comment, not a question.
Okay.
David was talking about the fear that controls the church. Fear controls the church, too. We're in a big financial mess in America. And so that puts some fear on me, on my money.
Yes.
And so what am I tempted to do? I give less to missions so I can buy more televisions. And the missionaries, they don't have as much money either because their money's not worth
yep.
much. They need more.
Yes.
When I have less, so what's fear going to do with me?
That's right. It's a good lesson for all of us right now, isn't it? The market's going boom like that, and we're sitting here, wow, now what do we do? Wow. Yep. Fear, though, remember what the Bible says? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I like that one, sound mind. I need a little of that too, know how to put that together. The love and power we have, and that's what counts. No fear. Hey, that's on the pickup trucks. I've seen it. No fear. Put a little Bible reference under that thing. No fear. That's good. Yes?
I feel a comment here. We're going to a particular program, and the other night the speaker said something that really, first time I had heard it in a long time, I heard it again last night. And when he said, if we really looked at prayer as entering the throne room of the creator of the universe, and we really thought of it that way, we wouldn't, you know, you'd have to drag us off our knees.
That's right.
We come before the Lord. And I know I'm one of those that has a hard time in prayer. So that's one of the things I'm trying to keep in my mind is that, who am I talking to here?
Oh, that's the way to start prayer. I finally got into the habit. To whom am I speaking? That's the first thing I think of. And then I start thinking about God, who He is. And it ends up more worship sometimes than it is even asking. Just to recognize, little old me, think of this, little old Ron Blue can talk directly to the creator of the universe. And there's always time. He's always there. I can't get over that. Can you? It's incredible, isn't it? Ooh, man, oh man. Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
We're
creator. Well, it's probably copyright God. I get it right out of the Bible. Good comments, questions. Yes?
With what? With the what?
The unrest in
what? Oh, in the past, Bolivia and other places, in China. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of unrest out there.
How does that affect the rest of the world?
The ministry.
The ministry. In those countries, it really, if I get emails from all these friends, Bolivia's just been in a terrible turmoil. Around Santa Cruz, they're fighting against the president, and it's just constant turmoil. And you read about India, how the Hindu, fanatic Hindu people are killing Christians right now while we sit here and enjoy all of this. That unrest really makes it hard. And many give their lives in the process. So, of course, that affects. And frankly, you brought it up, the financial situation, we have to realize that affects all of us in our giving. And get this, Dallas Seminary already has felt the pinch. Giving drops immediately. Because we tend to give out of our surplus, not out of sacrifice. It's more surplus giving. And if the surplus is not there, or there's fear that it might disappear, we'll hold back, and it's only natural human endeavor. I love this one. I may have mentioned this, but I remember this little cartoon strip. If you want to get the philosophical news, read the cartoons in your papers. That's the philosophical part. I love this one, Peanuts. Lucy's talking to Charlie Brown. And Lucy says, no, it's Charlie Brown talking to Lucy. That's how it is. Can you see Charlie Brown? His balloon head says to Lucy, Lucy, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see Lucy with her stubby little hands? Give! I want to get. He knows us. Doesn't he know us? You know the philosophy, get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. No, we should probably be more liberal in the moments of crisis than we are when we have plenty of surplus. But that's a good point. All of these crises affect the whole world. Very good point. And we have a lot of places of turmoil. But there are many open doors too, like we've never had before. Open doors. Yes?
How long have you been married? How long have I been married? 44 years. Not very long.
Some people beat us in this thing in a hurry. My sweet little wifey, man, I wish she were here. She loved coming here. She really enjoyed this conference. Have you met my wifey? You haven't met her, have you? Yeah, she's sort of quiet. I'm banging around. I'm the balloon that's floating off in space, and she has her finger right on the string. Gets me back down to face reality. Thank God for a wife like that. Thank you for your kind question. Yes?
In some of the Spanish-speaking countries, of course, there's a lot of Catholicism. Do you find any people having a problem with differentiating Christianity and Catholicism? There's also a lot of, witchcraft and stuff, other stuff going on.
Right. There's a lot of what I would call folk Catholicism. They say they're Catholic, but they're also into the Spiritist movement. And those are the people that we desperately want to see the Lord, come to know the Lord. But in all religions of the world, there's this general tendency to think, I need to reach up to God. You name it, any religion, that's what they're usually teaching. You've got to do all these things to be right with God. And the Muslims teach that. In fact, one Muslim guy explained it to me, said, that's right, you do all you can, and then God has to fill in the rest, if he so desires. And this is generally true with the majority of Roman Catholics. I try to clear the air when I speak with Roman Catholics. First of all, please don't say to a Roman Catholic, do you believe in Christ? What a dumb question that is. Of course they believe in Christ. And I got to the point where I realized, I don't say you need to receive Christ, because they think immediately of receiving Christ in the Mass. So I thought I had it all figured out. I'm talking to Pepe Brice after a men's Bible study. I said, Pepe, tienes que confiar en Cristo. You have to put your trust in Christ. I can still see him. He said, pero confío en Cristo. I trust in Christ. And I didn't know what to say. Raimundo Galan, new believer, standing right next to me, he got the picture right away. He took a cup off the table and said, yeah, you trust in Christ up to here. Then you add devotion to the Holy Mother, attendance at Mass, all your good works. No, he said, toda la confianza en Cristo. All of your trust in Christ. See, that speaks. You have to put all of your trust in Christ for salvation. And that's the message that the average Roman Catholic has to hear, as does the Mormon and the Jehovah's Witness and frankly, so many so-called Protestant Christians. They need to hear that. All of your trust in Christ. And we've experienced that, right? So that's what we need to do. They are Christians. But we want them to know Christ. Frankly, I'll be honest, with our presidential candidates, who am I to question their testimony? But both of them say, we are Christians. But are they born again? I don't know. Only God knows that. I have great questions about one of them. This is not to be a political speech. Erase that part right here. But I have great questions if he's truly born again. See my point? And thank God it's both he, so I don't have to say it. I'll stop right there before I get in deep trouble here. We have a lawsuit, and Judge, you'll have to take care of this thing. Oh, man. Good question. About 5 or 10 more minutes, and then we'll have to wind it up so you can all head home and get a little rest. But these are great questions. I enjoy this so much. Just very penetrating, very good questions. Yes?
Oh, can you be here tomorrow? Oh, rest. I'll talk to you afterwards. Because I do think you need to find it in Scripture. Not my answer, it's what does God say. And he'll tell you that my statement is the one that throws us off. God's going to send people to hell because they've rejected a message they've never even heard. That's not right, it's not just, and it isn't. And we'll explain it from Scripture. So, if I can get to you, what is your name?
Daddy.
Daddy?
Daddy.
That is so funny. I'll have to tell you, this is a true story. My wife helped tutor a guy down in Costa Rica when I was at language school. She knew enough Spanish, she didn't have to go the whole time, right? But she was tutoring him in English. And he invited us over to his home with his parents so I could meet them. And he introduced my wife, of course, Elizabeth de Blue, and then he said to me, and what is your name, honey? He thought my name was Honey.
That is so funny. So he's Daddy. That's good. No, I know you didn't say that. That's good. But I'll try to check that out. If you have just a few minutes, I'll try to give you a quick summary of what we're going to do tomorrow morning. Right from Scripture. Well, it's probably time to wind this up. Yes?
Church
Yes.
Those church plans becoming dependent on the Western church. Have you seen a model where that has been really been leaned off of the West?
Oh, yeah. The one.
I tend to see the struggle there. We're always looking for finances from the West.
It's just what you said. That's a danger. We think we have to pump money into it. And we should be able to do what we can. But that was my major desire in Segovia, Spain. This church would be born and grow, and I could walk away and it would keep going and multiply. Not just keep going, but multiply. And it's happened. And in my case, even though that was my desire, God in His sovereignty asked me to come to Dallas Seminary so He could get me out of the way. And it went on by God's grace. And here's what a church planter needs to know. You don't plant a church kirk building in Vienna, Austria. This guy had the building, a good leader, good man, and his dear wife. They had the building. They had the pews. They even had the piano and the hymn books. Just didn't have the people. And he said to me, you just can't do it here in Vienna, Austria. I didn't have the heart to tell him right then. I'd just been with a guy from Canada, Abe Neufeld. In his retirement as pastor, he determined, he and his wife, let's go someplace where they really need the gospel more than they do in Canada. And they chose Vienna, Austria. Because he already knew German, Abe Neufeld. Mennonite background, wonderful servant of God. And I wish you could see that church, dynamic church. And here's what he said to me. He said, I didn't come here to start a church. I just wanted to make some friends and get them into the Bible. Did you hear that? Make friends, get them into the Bible. He started a Bible study. More and more people came. And they loved it. And they finally came to him one day and said, look, we're not getting anything in our state church. Couldn't we meet on Sundays? He said, well, if you want to. They started meeting on Sundays. Then so many people came, they had to knock a wall out of their apartment to make room for all of them. Then they came to him and said, couldn't we rent a place someplace and make room for more people? He said, well, if you want to. You should see that church. Dynamic. And did you get the difference in his approach? Make friends and get them into the Bible. Versus start a church. Building. Pews. Hymn books. Make friends and get them into the Bible. To me, that is the best term I've ever heard for church planter. I don't even like the term church planter. I like to think, make friends and get them into the Bible. Here's what I tell my seminary students. I don't think you'll have any problem getting them into the Bible. It's the first part you may have a struggle with. Make friends. These guys are so academic, they don't make any friends. I said, no, you have to make friends. I think they ought to have it as a required text. How to make friends and influence people. I would require that thing and say, hey, make sure you read that and learn how to make friends. Reach out to people. So there's my comment. Yes?
Don't throw money at it. Make friends. Get them in the Bible. Let them grow. And they will multiply the work. You're the three. What is your name again? Three?
E3.
E3. What does that mean again? Evangelism? Yeah. So you've got it in your title now. The E3. I don't know if that helped.
So when we were talking earlier about the church planting movement.
Yes.
That means you have, when you see that taking place, that means you have to have leadership in place.
Oh, absolutely. We're making friends, getting them into the Bible.
Subject to having people to cults. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh, yeah. They're out to get our converts.
And then the church then, to be a church then, you have to be carrying out the ordinances of that church.
Yes, a true church will be administering the ordinances. There will be leadership there. It's from cradle to grave. Everybody's included. That's what a church is. It's the people. But we dare not allow those churches to be totally dependent on U.S. dollars. I think that kills it. We just cannot do that. In this Doctor of Ministries program, got to stop with this perhaps. It just prompts my thinking. But I'm thinking of the day when Dr. Reed asked me to start this thing. And his ideas, we will find full scholarship for every Latin who can get into the program. So we're just on the beginning of this thing. And a guy from India, graduate of Dallas, was in Dallas visiting. And he asked me, he said, what are you going to charge for tuition? I said, I think the plan is I'm supposed to find a scholarship for everyone. He said, you're not going to charge tuition? I said, I think that's the plan. Oh, he said, don't do that. Fuller Seminary tried that in India, and nobody values the program because it's free. It's worthless. He said, no, you've got to charge tuition. So I called my ad hoc committee down in Guatemala. I said, I have another assignment for you. Come up with a tuition figure that's a stretch, but not impossible. They came up with $80 a semester hour. And that was a stretch. Now we're up to $110. But they're paying that, and guess what? By getting professors to take less, it's self-supporting. That'll bother you knowing the tuition right now at Dallas Seminary. Everybody said, wait a minute, if those guys just take a little less money, I might be able to make it. But, so it's self-supporting. Thank God for my dear buddy Sukhwant Bhatia from India that caught me at the right moment by the grace of God. That thing's not dependent on U.S. dollars. It's happening. Praise God. So this helps. I think in church planning the same way. Listen, I go on, and it's about a quarter till, so I think we better stop. I know you had planned originally 9 o'clock, but I can't make it to 9 o'clock. I'd be dead. Look at me, bags under my eyes. I'm a mess. But
I cannot thank you enough. Seriously, excellent questions, good conversations, and I just thank God for you. And I trust tomorrow will be a wonderful time, and I'll get together with you right afterwards, and I'll take a look at that for just a minute so you can go home satisfied.